Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. We're so glad you decided to listen to our program today. Our intent is to inform you and to encourage you. This is Are You Listening? With Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. In a busy world with lots of distractions, we need to pay closer attention to God. Are you listening to God's Word today? Here's Jeff.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What an awesome verse from 1 Corinthians 1:18, a verse that is a great way to begin our broadcast, the message of the cross. Now, sadly, dear friends, it is foolishness to those who are perishing. There are those that wish not to listen to the message of the cross. In the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, why those Corinthians were looking for something of great wisdom, something of great knowledge, something that would excel anything they could imagine, they just could not accept that a man that was crucified to be the message that they were looking for. But you know, to the saved, it is the power of God, because God took Jesus Christ from that cross when he was buried. He resurrected him. He ascended into heaven, and he is on the right hand of the Father. That's a message of the cross, dear friends. And building on that today, we want to talk about the readiness of preaching. But first, a thank you to our J. Webb, and a greetings to all of you. Our J. Webb is our announcer, does a wonderful job. He's going to tell you a little bit about our website a little later, and a couple of study courses and booklets you can receive absolutely free. As of this broadcast, dear friends, for nearly 90 years, we have proclaimed the Word of God week in and week out. The International Gospel Hour understands the importance of bringing forth the unadulterated message, the simple Word of God. It humbles me, and I am reminded of the souls such as yours that listen and wish to do everything in my power to point us to the Word of God. And preaching the Word of God is a great responsibility. Greetings again to you, our listeners, because you trust our broadcast. You tune in and you listen and you study together, and we hope that it will move you closer to God. We hope that if you have believed something that the Bible is teaching otherwise, that you will come to the truth, that you will see God's Word, and you will be obedient therein. May we also add to our listeners, to our newer listeners, who may hear us regardless of the option that you may hear us, over the air, radio, podcast options, internet, thank you for giving us a try. Thank you for studying along with us. And let's make it a valuable time together in light of the Word of God. The book of 2 Timothy is believed to be Paul's last letter. And before this beautiful letter ends, Paul encourages Timothy. Please listen to this inspired command and encouragement from the apostle as he penned it by inspiration in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, or finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Again, that's 2 Timothy 4, 1-8. And you know, friends, it is clearly seen how important preaching the Word truly is. It is necessary to save one's soul. It takes work to bring it forth, and upon obedience to the gospel, it gives one that hope of heaven and the crown that awaits. We want to think about the readiness of preaching for our broadcast today. Dear friends, we do not encourage little talks, lessons to consider, words of motivation, but what will save the soul will be the preaching of the gospel. And I want to tell you something, dear friends, people are longing for that. You very well, shall I say, you very well may be longing for that too. Well, today, let's think about that. But first, as I mentioned earlier, our J-Web encourages us throughout our broadcast to share with you some things about International Gospel Hour. And here's a few words about our website at internationalgospelhour.com.
Our website is internationalgospelhour.com. That's internationalgospelhour.com. Please check it out and listen to our other broadcasts. Learn more of our history. Download our app. Request our free newsletter and free Bible study. Also, check out our free resources available from our fellow laborers in the gospel. Yes, friends, all for you through our website at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's continue today's study.
Dear friends, in preaching, let us be ready with the proper approach. You know, in the proclamation of truth, we must have the right approach. Now, when we go back to verse 2, the Apostle Paul said to be ready or to be instant in season and out of season, to be ready. Constant readiness. You know, something instant means immediate, and whether in season or out of season, it covers the whole span of time. You know, I can remember as a boy, and I'm probably going to be aging myself, but I can remember instant breakfast, to where you would take a packet of chocolate mix, pour it into milk, and you'd stir it quickly. You would have an instant breakfast. A matter of fact, it's still a very popular item today, I am sure. But that was something that was different from the way we used to do chocolate milk, when we would take the old Hershey's cocoa, put it in a glass in hot water, put a little sugar in it for sweetener, and then we would stir that in the hot water to dissolve it. Then we would pour our milk in and stir it. Took a little extra work, and today there are individuals that say, you know, that was really good chocolate milk. But when the instant breakfast came along, it made life much easier, and as you would mature as a child, you could fix yourself a quick breakfast. Well, something instant means it's right there, available, and ready. To be instant in season and out of season, or to be ready in season and out of season, that is the proper approach with preaching, to be ready with the words that men need to hear, that all need to hear. Now, let's go back to verse 2 and let's do a little bit of a definition. How about the word convince? Some translations would say reprove. Simply means with the prefix re to prove all over again, or to bring forth something that will convince the listener. Now, you bring forth the same truth to convince that individual. It's a reminder of the Word of God and God's command to us. For example, Paul reminded or convinced those of the gospel. He would remind them in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6 to put them in remembrance, as well as 2 Timothy 1, 6. Jesus reminded people. He convinced them to turn toward Him to when He said in Luke 17, 32, remember Lot's wife. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, Solomon reminded, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. These are teachings that would convince or to reprove, to prove all over again. Here is the message that will convince. He also mentioned in verse 2, to rebuke. Now, though, folks, that's a very sharp word. When we hear the word rebuke, it means there's a statement that one has to change. The Word of God will rebuke our manner of life if indeed we are not living as faithful as we should and not living before God. It urges a change in one's life. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20, he said, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear, that we can learn from the mistakes of other people. The word exhort means to encourage, to build up, or to urge onward. It's used in Hebrews 10 and verse 25 when the Hebrew writer said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Come together to worship, to encourage, to build up, to urge onward." Preaching the Word of God with the proper approach very well would be exhorting individuals to keep on keeping on, to hear messages to feed one's faith. Long-suffering, all long-suffering. Think of long-suffering in a way like this. It is a tremendous enduring patience. It's bearing with good folks. It's bearing with individuals. Long-suffering or suffering long. That when we reprove or convince, rebuke, and exhort, that when we bring forth all of that and that teaching, that there are those that we have to endure patience with them. Some are able to grasp the preaching of the gospel quicker and apply it. Some think through it. Some have Satan tugging at them. Remember, in Luke chapter 8 of the sower and the seed, we read where the seed, before it could go into root, that the ravens came down, the birds would come down and eat that as Satan going and snatching it from the hearts of individuals. We have to endure and to work with good people. Then doctrine. Folks, that is simply teaching. May I talk about that for a moment? The King James Version translates it doctrine. The New King James translates it teaching. It's simply one and the same. Dear friends, we're in a world today, in the religious world, it's absolutely amazing that one will say, well, doctrine is not important. It really doesn't matter what you believe. It really doesn't matter what church you attend. Why, you can take your own spiritual journey and avoid organized religion. Dear friends, did you ever think that as this is being taught, that is a doctrine as well? If teaching is the same as doctrine, and it is, if someone says doctrine's not important, well, that is something they are teaching, so he is using doctrine to teach there is no such thing as doctrine. Friends, I know, I trust that doesn't sound confusing, but dear friends, doctrine is important. In 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul told Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. In Titus 2 and verse 1, Paul exhorted Titus, "You speak the things which become sound doctrine." And we need to be concerned of doctrine that is taught, because Jesus even warned in Matthew 15 and verse 9, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." You see, dear friends, the readiness of preaching the word expresses its power as well. Preaching the gospel must be very distinct. It needs to be ready, and we need to be ready in listening to the doctrine of Christ that should be preached. In preaching, dear friends, we must be ready with the proper approach. In season, out of season. The Word of God is always ready for study, and isn't it wonderful that we have a source where to go? A source that we can reach, the Word of God, sent by the Father, through the Son, through the Spirit, the complete revelation to change our lives for the better. Let's press onward. From verses 3 and 4, we move from, in preaching, let us be ready with the proper approach. Now, let us be ready with the truthful attack. Back to verses 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Dear friends, do you suppose that time has come? Without a doubt. There are individuals that are not looking for truth. You, dear friends, we trust, are the exceptions. You're seeking out what is true and what is good. How encouraged we are to hear individuals that will write us and say, "Thank you for what you're teaching. Thank you that we are looking back at the Bible to dig into the Scriptures." Well, let's keep on keeping on. Dear friends, to proclaim the truth in saving souls and it also keeps souls saved. The truth, according to the Word of God, which is truth, John 17:17. In verse 5, be watchful in all things. And in espousing things that are not true, well, one will turn away from the truth. But the truth is what saves us. In John 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why, today there are individuals that say, you cannot know truth. May I ask a question? If you say, I cannot know truth, how do you know that I cannot know? It's amazing that we can't know truth, which is doable, truth which is of God. People say, you can't know truth, but they know that. Nothing could be further from the truth. Dear friends, let's talk about a couple of contexts, that teach about standing against erroneous teaching that can mislead people. When Paul wrote the book of Galatians, as he began that letter, he dealt with a matter that was troubling the churches scattered throughout Galatia. In Galatians 1, beginning with verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Did you catch that, dear friends? There were those who were called in the grace of Christ, those who were Christians, turning to a different gospel. Paul said, it's not another. There are some who are troubling you. Listen to John's warning in 2 John 9-11. John had dealt with that horrible Gnostic doctrine in 1 John. He reminds them in 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. If someone comes to you and say, here is something that we are teaching and it is contrary to the Word of God, they're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, dear friends, do not allow it to go on. Open up, and if they're sincere, they're going to be looking for truth. Dear friends, may we encourage you at this point to always put the Bible up against any religious teaching that you hear. Are such teachings as faith only saves, the thousand-year reign, denominationalism is acceptable? Are these according to the Word of God? Dear friends, we submit humbly in light of God's Word. They are not proper doctrines. And a reason of preaching the Word is standing against error that comes forth so truth can be ever more so clear. I've had individuals that have left denominational churches say how they had sought for the truth for so long. I'm reminded of a dear sister in Christ who on the walls of her house had a number of pictures of false televangelists of whom she had sent money through the years. She was seeking for the truth, and then one day heard a radio broadcast similar to ours here and began to reach out. This broadcast, like ours, did not ask for any money. This broadcast, like ours, encouraged a seeking of truth. And she sought the truth, and she obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, that is our plea, not to be critical, but to convert and bring people closer to the truth, which is where we desire to be. And someone that would discourage you from the truth is not a lover of the truth. Here on the International Gospel Hour, for example, we encourage people to study the Bible in their home, to seek these things we're talking about with an open mind. I want to pause here and I want to defer to our Jay Webb, and he will share with you how you can receive our free Bible study course by mail. Here is our Jay Webb.
Your friends at the International Gospel Hour are offering absolutely free
a Bible study course by mail. You may study in the privacy of your own home at your own pace. Feel free to give it a try. Please call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say, Home Study. That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and please leave your name, address, and just say, Home Study. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type Home Study in the message box. We'll send it right away. Thank you for your interest in the things of God. And now, back to Jeff.
And now, friends, in preaching, let us be ready with the proper approach, the truthful attack, and now let us be ready with the eternal attainment. Now, in verse 1, you note, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Okay, so we understand the Lord will return. I mean, in verse 8, Paul said, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing. Let's think about this, dear friends. When we preach the gospel of Christ, we bring forth the eternal attainment. It is a message of which we believe and obey, because eternity is important. According to John 12:48, we understand that we will be judged by the Christ and His Word. We're going to be judged by Christ and the Word. All of us will be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, and we will receive the things done in our body, whether good or bad. Here's the question, will that crown of righteousness of which Paul referred, is there a crown of righteousness that is laid up for you, dear friends? In Revelation 2 and verse 10, the latter part of that verse, in Jesus encouraging His church at the city of Smyrna in Asia Minor, He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. It takes that faithfulness and that consistency. Dear friends, in preaching the gospel, we must have the proper approach, in season and out of season, the truthful attack, to bring forth true doctrine, and also, dear friends, the eternal attainment that is there. Dear friends, that's why it is so important for you and I to see the teaching of Jesus concerning faith. For He said in John 8:24, if we do not believe that He is, we will die in our sins. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must believe in God, and notice, faith is to bring us closer to God. When we are coming closer to God, we turn away from our lives. That is repentance. We turn away from the life of which we've lived. If anybody expects to change their lives for God, repentance is a must. Jesus taught it in Luke 13:3. Peter preached it in Acts 2:38. The Apostle Paul proclaimed it and preached it in Acts 17:31. To confess Christ, to confess our faith in Christ, as Christ commanded in Matthew 10:32 and 33. And the confession that is made unto salvation based upon our faith, Romans 10:9 and 10. And then, dear friends, to be baptized into Christ is a command of God. On the day of Pentecost, they were commanded to be baptized, Acts 2:38. Based upon their faith, Jesus made that part of the Great Commission in Mark 16:16. And one is added to the church we read of in the New Testament. Dear friends, these are things we can simply read of in the Bible. And yes, as we've talked about today, there are a lot of things going on in this world that's simply not right. But the Bible is always correct. With that being said, here is a very special gift we wish to send you. And here's our J. Webb to tell you about our Bible track, Something is Wrong, but the Bible is Right.
Friends, we can look at this world, and no doubt something is wrong. But did you know the Bible is right? we have a special free booklet we'd like to send you called Something is Wrong, but the Bible is Right. It is an exceptional study that clears away a lot of the confusion in the religious world and lets us see that the Bible is always right. Just call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say, Bible Tract. That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and please leave your name, address, and just say, Bible Tract. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type Bible Tract in the message box. Another free offer of study from your friends here at International Gospel Hour. Now, back to our study.
Dear friends, we really appreciate you joining us with our study today about the readiness of preaching. We will never underestimate the power of preaching here with our messages of International Gospel Hour. And join us each and every time as we study the Word of God together. In preaching, we will always have the proper approach, instant in season and out of season. We will present the truth as its attack on false doctrine, and we will also be ready to aim us toward heaven. Let's continue these studies together another time, shall we? Thanks for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and dear friends, keep listening.
God be with you till we...
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.